Agenda paper nine.
Yes, thank you, Wayne. So the next agenda paper is agenda paper nine, the accounting for net proceeds and the cost of testing on property, plant, and equipment. At the July 2014 meeting, the Interpretations Committee discussed a request to clarify accounting for the net proceeds from selling items produced while bringing the asset of property, plant, and equipment to the location and condition necessary for it to be capable of operating in the manner intended by management. The submitter has asked whether the amount by which the net proceeds exceed the cost of testing should be recognized in profit or loss or as a deduction of the cost of the PPE. The Interpretations Committee discussed this issue in the July and issued a tentative agenda decision on the basis that excess proceeds should be recognized in profit or loss. We have received 9 comment letters on the tentative agenda decisions, and the majority of the respondents were concerned about the implication of the agenda decision for the extractive industry and other certain industries. Those respondents noted that it is common practice in those industries to credit net proceeds in excess of the cost of testing to the asset under construction. Accordingly, a number of practical issues were raised in the comment letters. In response to the comments raised, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should add this item to its agenda to analyze the issue further. And based on the comments received, we've listed like certain issues we will analyze going forward. For example, what costs qualify as a cost of testing, or disclosure on proceeds deducted from assets. And so, the question is, the committee members are comfortable with going forward the project. Thank you.
So this would be reversing our previous decision.
Exactly.
And clarifying IAS 16.
Yes.
And potentially IFRS 15.
Yeah, that's possible.
Bonnie?
I did agree with the staff recommendation to continue the analysis. I guess one maybe point that I read maybe a little bit differently in the staff analysis is in paragraph 20, where they're analyzing when is the asset available for use, and interpreting paragraph 20A of IS 16, where it talks about the costs incurred while an item is capable of being operated, blah, 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 is operated at less than full capacity. I guess when I read that, I read it as it's at its intended use, but it's operating at less than full capacity because full capacity isn't needed for the amount of goods that the company would be producing, not kind of how it's interpreted on the previous page as something at less than full capacity is not yet to its full use. So I just want to be careful there with when we think an asset is available for use based on management's intention, because I read those two things very, very differently. And if we're using them to support our view on when an asset is available for use, we just need to be very careful. So I don't know if anybody else read that same thing, but that was what struck me a little bit there.
Thank you.
Valid point, and we'll take that up. Andrew?
Well, I certainly agree not to finalise the tentative decision as it was drafted. I'm okay to take this on to the agenda. If we do that, I'd just question whether the focus should be quite so narrowly on the testing phase. So I think, especially in the extractive sector, that rather, to me, misses the bigger point, which is about income generated as a consequence of activities that are necessary to bring the asset into its present location and condition. And in some of these sectors, there might be a reasonably clearly defined testing phase. In others, there isn't. So I think narrowing it down to the testing phase is going to be too narrow and also put an awful lot of pressure on the definition of testing.
Actually, Andrew, our third bullet point on paragraph 32 of the paper was suggesting that we look broader than just the testing, but look at other proceeds received that are related to the asset prior to that the asset being ready for its intended use. So we were thinking of approaching it in a broader way.
Oh, good. I didn't focus on that. My apologies, but that's the right way to go.
Fair point. Laurent?
I think that the whole issue is actually one, as Bonnie expressed it, that is to determine when is an asset available for use in the way intended by management. So that's the key question to investigate. And from the comments we receive, I mean, we hear a lot of people saying, well, hold on, we consider that the asset is not yet available for use in the way the management intends, and so everything is part of the cost of the asset, even if it is as a deduction of the cost of the asset. If it is after, then it should go as income. And I can follow that route. But I do recall that we had some previous questions at IFRIC where asking us to consider also the unit of account with for PP&E, whether you distinguish components or whether you look at the PP&E as a whole to assess whether it is available for use in the way intended by management, and we decided not to address that issue, and so I'm afraid that we may run into similar types of issue. I am just afraid that, you know, going through cost of testing, what costs qualify as cost of testing and so on, it's getting into too much detail. IFRS are principle based at some stage, so how far into details do we want to go? I agree that the decision we published should not be finalized because anyway I was against it. But I do believe that the key issue that is being faced is identifying whether an asset is available for use in the way intended by management. And that's the trigger point.
And people have told us judgment. That it's not clear.
But then it's not the question that's listed in the staff recommendation. There is only one question then that should be investigated further. When do we consider that an asset is available for use in the way intended by management?
Which I, just to clarify my understanding, going back to Bonnie's point, I build a car factory. My intended use is to produce 100,000 vehicles a month, 10,000 vehicles a month. I only have a market for 5,000. Do I say it's not ready for its intended use because I only have a market for 5? Of course not. Bonnie is agreeing with me. But I think the context in which the submitter put this issue to us had a flavor of that, of people stretching out a testing phase way beyond what others would say was the point at which the asset was ready for use. And I think some of this is around the question we were asked. Bonnie, you are on point on this, sir.
I've read that a little bit differently. I wanted to make sure that we weren't misinterpreting paragraph 20A of IS 16, which I think, in my view, it was in the staff's conclusion in paragraph 20 of the agenda paper.
Okay.
So I guess in the auto industry, when you do build a plant, there is obviously some testing phase, but when the equipment is put into use and production is actually rolling off, whether or not we intend to build X number, Y number, or Z number, once we can start producing on that piece of equipment, that's when it goes into service and that's when we start capitalization. So if your specific point is coming out, and maybe I just missed it, and when somebody's determining when the asset is available for use, to me that's not following the IFRS standard, which I don't think is the intent of what we're trying to do here. I think the intent is to really address the questions, which I agree with those questions. I in particular wanted to make sure that what we're talking about doesn't inadvertently interpret paragraph 20A as something other than what I read it okay. as intended to be.
I'm so sorry, I misunderstood.
That was my point.
Okay, Laurence, let's press this on. I think we're beating it up. Martin?
Yeah, for me, the question really is what is related to testing, and I could imagine two cases. One is to arrive at a specific quality assurance for my products. So that means in testing phase, if I would have an output, I only could give a kind of limited guarantee for these products when I am in my testing phase. The other possibility would be that I have to get certain regulatory approvals. So that means for the outcome, I have no real regulatory approval. However, I might be able to sell this product due to the fact that more or less it is a kind of commodity or whatever. And in any other case, I would assume I would be out of testing. So I could not really say, well, I have a theoretical production volume of 100, and now I'm only intend to produce 6. However, I could produce more. I would have the regulatory permission to do so, and so on. I would be out of testing. A related question would be, we are talking here about IS 16. What is with IS 38. So if I have a clear rule and a clear interpretation on this issue, I would bet that the next guys came with the question, and what is on IS 38?
Would you ever get a different answer under 38?
That's the question.
I wouldn't have thought.
We are very specific here. We are currently only answering IRS 16 and not IRS 16 in combination with also IRS 38. So it could be worth to consider if we really want to go for an interpretation.
Fair point. Bruce?
Yeah, I just want to say I agree with the STARS recommendation. I mean, this is obviously an issue in our region, especially obviously in some of the extractive industries. Yeah, I think a lot of it's already been articulated. I was one of the people who also didn't agree with taking this off the agenda, so I'm glad to see that it's being proposed to be brought back on.
Okay, I show John, Miguel, Tony, Reiner.
I agree with staff recommendation to add the item to the agenda. I do question if there's much merit in just addressing items B to E and not addressing A, because in my experience in the extractive industries, the real issue is there's less diversity about the accounting for sales proceeds during the development stage than there is actually the determination of when the asset is available for use. And the reason is because there's an integration of production and development activities. So there are elements to this issue very similar to IFRIC 20, which might be good or bad, but there's elements of the same activity giving rise to production as well as giving rise to an asset. So available for use, the difficulty with available for use is it's a very difficult concept where you have integrated production development activities. When is the asset really available for use in a complex development process? And there's really a lack of disclosure of information of amounts that are credited to the cost of the asset prior to the asset being made available for use. So I would agree with the recommendation to add the item to the agenda, but I would extend some of the outreach to seek input on the question of available for use.
Yes, I would actually think that we should stick with the previous decision proposal, which I maybe have not heard. And in my mind, it is in itself that testing is something that is not material relating to the asset value or to the operation. And if it would be material, to those circumstances, I would assume that this machine investment or whatever is available for use. So in my mind, we are now discussing that we have comment from one industry that has certain problems with this, but I mean the general conclusion, I think, is correct, as we have pointed out. And then we should have principle-based standards. And then, of course, this industry has to see, okay, how are their facts and circumstances in that industry, instead of spending a lot of time to try to identify all these kind of issues, because, I mean, obviously there will be new issues popping up in other industries than if you come to some kind of other conclusion. So I think we should stick with the proposal that we made.
Tony?
I think I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to. My sense is there's probably not an enormous amount of diversity in the treatment of proceeds. There may be more diversity, as several people have said, in deciding when an asset is ready for its intended use. And I think my concern with the previous agenda decision was that it it came to a definitive conclusion that I think is inconsistent with the way most people have read the standard. And so I think I probably shared the concerns of the people that wrote in with the fact that we were giving a definitive answer. As I say, I'm not sure there's a huge amount of diversity around that question. So I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to in the context of taking it onto the agenda and doing some more outreach. I think it's very difficult to separate the question of what to do with the credit from what the related debits are and whether or not the asset is ready for use. I think all of those things have to be considered together as part of the analysis, because they're all interrelated.
Okay. Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to the ones that Tony just made, that I think when the asset is available for use is an integral part of the whole question, which leads me to my own personal perspective, which is that along the lines of the discussions we've had at other meetings and some of the members here today made, I'm not convinced that this has a significant impact on the result, that the significant diversity and that the amounts are material. And when I look at what the proposal is of the staff, it just seems like it's a very detailed set of steps that we're going to proceed down, and some potentially very detailed guidance. And I think, as some others have said, IS-16 has been around for a long time, and this seems like something where we're going to invest a lot of time developing very detailed guidance, where really, you know, maybe there's some principles we could address instead. So as I say, I if we take this on the agenda, I do think we need to consider at a minimum when the assets are available for use, and then look at where this leads as to whether we're getting into very specific detailed guidance that might be applicable for particular industries.
Okay, let's go to the phone. Fei Long?
Talking about the diversity in practice in extractive industry, because extractive industry is a broad term, could difference arise because of the type of mineral concern, difference in structure of ore body, or the method in which the mineral is extracted out of the ground seabed? Different industries do what they currently do for a specific reason, rather than having its IFRIT work on an area. Maybe a pragmatic view would be to agree that there is a diversity in practice, but for good business reasons, and issue an IFRIT rejection on this base. And for the staff analysis for paragraph 17, you mentioned that you have identify two key judgments. I think for A, the judgment A, this is, might not be an area that the IFRIT would want to dabble into. It is so industry LSS specific. And for B, as paragraph 17 starts off, there are judgments. If there is a judgment, rather than having IFRIT micromanaging it on behalf of the preparers, just let the preparers work it out themselves. And also for paragraph 25, you have mentioned that the issue is whether the excess of proceeds over cost of testing. Are we over complicating the issue by trying to find the net proceeds after deducting relevant costs? And what is the unit of account? Is it per sales transaction, or is it per discrete period? Rather than let people jump through hopes for a very immature issue, could be much simpler if we just allow companies to deduct gross proceeds against the asset carry value until the asset is available for use. And also for the paragraph 27, and you're talking about the cost of constructing, however, the cost of constructing the shaft and the removing the sentence. Immature issue, probably best related to the industry to apply their own judgment based on specific facts and circumstances. Also for paragraph 28, the submitter questioned whether any disclosure should be required for proceeds deducted from the asset. I think it's also, do we need to disclose for such an immature item? Just based on those reasons, I don't think it's a good idea to address the specific issue for specific industry.
Okay. Sandy?
I'm supportive of the issue being taken on. Actually, Phelan's touched on a point that I was thinking. I don't have a lot of transparency into the transparency to which you the financial statements illustrate these things today, and this, I'd be curious about this. The degree to which it's immaterial, I don't know why we'd be taking it on, let alone making disclosures, but it seems like it's here because it's probably not immaterial. To me, it seems like there's potential for earnings management, and I don't think there's probably not a lot of transparency associated with that, but it's hard to know that until you look a little more into it. So I'm for adding it and doing a little more homework.
Okay, Laurence, last call because it's your last meeting.
Thank you. I just want to point out that comment letter we did receive. I think that issue about when is an asset available for use in the way intended by management is relevant, and we have been talking about extractive industries, but the utilities companies are really affected by this. So if you, I understand that is the leading, so if you continue doing some work on it, read that comment letter and perhaps liaise with that industry, because it was an industry letter, to understand better.
Carl, I really want to wrap this up, so please.
Transportation service concession arrangements has important have important issues in this topic.
I think the first issue for us to decide, or that I'm going to ask you to decide, is whether or not we reverse our previous position and ask the staff to do more work, to pursue guidance in a form yet to be defined. And I would ask you to consider that the staff has heard all of the suggestions about scope and approach, and that they will take those on in crafting the next step. So the first question I would put to you is, should there be a next step, or should we go back to the original agenda decision and say that this does not go on the agenda? So how many in favor of there being a next step? Okay, and on the phone I counted Fei Long as definitely a no, and Sandy is a yes. So there will be a next step. And I think the staff has heard a lot about how to craft that. Carl, I'd like your input specifically on the service concession piece of that.
And if I can just confirm, we heard from, I think, a number of you, that you wanted us to also be looking at the judgment that is required about when the asset is ready for intended use. So this wasn't in the original five bullets, but we will add that in because a number of you had raised that.
No, I considered that to be part of the guidance provided to the staff. All right, that's what we'll do. All right. Anna will be bringing us